We got so much, I don't know where to start. The Cowboys locking up Deron Bland. Are we reading between the lines that Dak signed off on Micah getting shipped out of town? And is Trayvon Diggs getting ready to make the debut Thursday night? All these things coming at you on the official home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being part of the 6 a.m. Club with a Tolo Tuesday edition with the opener on Thursday. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belp. I guess we'll get rid of the Micah stuff early as he had the opening press conference in Green Bay and gave his thoughts and feelings on how he felt about being dealt.
Honestly, everything happens for a reason. It's a blessing in disguise. You know, I may not have that answer for you yet, but I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to work hard every day to prove that, you know, the Packers organization made the right decision and trusted me, and, you know, I'm going to carry that with me.
Not really a lot of drama or mudslinging in this, I felt. He is going to wear number one. I don't think that's been worn there since Curly Lambeau back in the day.
I'm out on people who are number one. It's the look at me number.
But you were 23.
Well, yeah. I was the best part of the team.
I thought it sounded like Micah was willing to miss games. He's like, I didn't want to have to go there, deprive my teammates. I want to be out there and playing. Now, maybe he's got to keep up that public front. I don't know, but it sounded like he was willing to take it there. I know you said, Bobby, at the firehouse, that's probably what was going to happen. And then Micah said he did not have any say in what team the Cowboys traded him to. No back issues. Quote, physically, I'm great. We'll get to that in a second. What else did you take from the presser?
Yeah, I think it was generally playing nice. And sort of, I think everybody recognized, I think both parties probably could have gone nastier in their press conferences if they wanted to. Jerry could have been uglier in his, you know, the Cowboys could have been uglier in theirs. Micah could have been uglier in his. And instead, they're going, you know what? Plenty of time, move forward. I mean, they're going to have to see each other in a month. And so when they see each other, there'll be plenty of discussion about it then. And maybe we see a little bit more. But yeah, I think that what the impression you got there from Micah was that, at least to me anyway, I think he's projecting that he didn't want to leave, regardless of his request. And we already know that he went back to the Cowboys, tried to restart talks, as Jane Slater reported, and him saying there, describing it as getting to Green Bay as, well, this is a blessing in disguise. Well, that doesn't sound like you got your way then, necessarily, if you wanted out of here that bad.
And so, his brother Terrence said, look, to you dumb blanks thinking Micah's making less with the whole tax thing that's going around, he would have signed for 43 in Dallas had Jerry picked up the phone and negotiated with his agent. So Terrence continues to say that, and Micah, I think, continues to suggest that I just wanted you to deal with my representation, and Terrence says he would have signed for 43.
It's that spring meeting. This entire thing ultimately comes down to what happened in that spring meeting and how it was represented, and then the lack of, or the damaged trust that came out of that. And I mean, obviously, it's being told in two very different ways what that was and what that was meant to be, and we'll probably never totally know what it is, just like we still don't know who agreed to the cameras in the draft room or this or that with Jimmy and Jerry.
So we were trying to follow up on Nick Eatman's appearance on Friday from DallasCowboys.com, because Nick was saying that the reported 5 for 202 maybe a little bit off in terms of the numbers. And what we were trying to do is figure out if Jerry, in March, before all the ugliness, actually offered Micah 43 or 44 instead of 40. Because when Nick said that, we were like, what? Huh? Is he saying that the offer was much, much better? And if that was the case, what I tweeted, if it's true that Jerry offered Micah in January, 43 or 44, I absolve Jerry Jones of any blame and any responsibility. I would put it 100% on Micah Parsons for not accepting that deal. What are you thinking, or what did you find out, or what are you hearing?
We'll be able to get better details on this probably either later today or tomorrow. But with certainty, I know from both sides that was not their offer. And so they did not offer. They offered the 40 and a half. The number that was out there that was reported, the 202, that's the number. And I think when we get into the details and figure out the nitty-gritty of like cash flow in the first few years and what actually was guaranteed and when and what kind of trigger dates were in there, I don't think it was particularly close on the contract.
So like, I guess my question for that would be, and you have to go back and do so, like, when was that offer made in reference to the other contracts that were done? When Miles did his new deal, when...
Well, Miles was done.
Miles TJ. Was done, TJ was not.
TJ was not. So Miles was done, and that was just at 40.
Yeah.
Like...
barely going over that.
So, yeah. So Miles went from... The previous high was, what, 35? So he jumped $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, if I'm an owner in the league, I'm not jumping another $5 million in the same offseason.
Well, you don't have to I mean? Like, jump not, $5 million, but like 43.
How about 41? Why is it, you know? Like,
a lot of people would also argue Miles was fighting for a, like, he was trying to get a pay raise. He was not like up for the extension the same way. Mm-hmm. Miles just wanted a reset.
I hear what you're saying, though.
I'm not going to sit here. Like, if Jerry offers top of the market, if he offered 40 and that's what the top of the market is at 40 and they've already jumped the market by $5 million that offseason, and I'm not going to sit here and blame him for that.
Do we owe Parsons an apology for making fun of the back injury when Adam Schefter puts out that he's been dealing, by the way, Micah practiced in the New Jersey. I saw him hitting the sled. I wouldn't be doing that with a really bad back, but I'm not a professional athlete or an amateur one. Mike has been dealing with an L4, L5 joint sprain in his back and may take an epidural injection prior to Sunday's game against the Lions if needed. Before trading Parsons last week, the Cowboys prescribed him a 5-day plan of an anti-inflammatory, a prednisone, to help him recover from back tightness, had him on a physical therapy program. So do we owe Micah a back treatment apology?
No, what that tells me is when they said his MRI came back pretty clean, that means they looked at it and said, sure, there's something here maybe somebody could say. So we'll give you a 5-day run of steroids. We'll get you like we'll run you a pack of steroids, basically. Not HGH type of steroids, yeah, but like the literal anti-inflammatory like, steroids.
Fine, here's your treatment. Yeah.
Yeah. They're giving him prednisone.
Not like, the Debbie Clemens supplementation regimen.
Kristen gets prednisone when she has like a sinus infection. That's basically
the epidural.
And epidural sounds like that's a little bit more serious.
That does, but I don't like, I thought when they give the epidural to like women when they're labored, it's like, yeah, you can't feel anything now at all. You can't even move. Like, it's one of those things where I would think he couldn't even feel his legs if that was the case.
It's the spinal tap, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, look, if that's true, there's that's serious. Like, you don't just get injections in your back.
No,
get injections in there.
This is me speaking. You know what? Let's play the Micah clip from Friday's presser on how you're now feeling.
Well, I think physically, I'm great. You know, I think I can contribute a lot. I'm gonna team up with the doctors to create a plan. We already talked about how we can ramp things up and get me into a flow where they feel comfortable and I feel comfortable. But, you know, my plan is to be here. You know, they didn't give up what they gave up for me to sit on the sidelines and make this big of a, you know, risk and change for me to do that. So I'm finna give my all.
In my opinion, this is Sean speaking, David Mulugeta hit up Schefter and Rappaport and had to give some credence to the whole back thing that was here and missing camp. I don't know why you necessarily have to. Like, we all could look at it and go, we know Jalen Ramsey wasn't really hurt to be missing games when he forced his way. I can't even keep track of where Ramsey left the latest time. Was it out of Jacksonville? He got out of Jacksonville.
Jacksonville to the Rams, then Rams to Miami.
But this to me is just the agent being like, hey, let's give some legitimacy to this.
Oh, sure. It's probably just a floated story just for kicks, right? But, you know, if they do actually give him an injection, it's like, oh, okay.
And then he'll play half the game, but it'll really be because of conditioning and scheme. And then that way they can say, no, he's playing through some. He's trying to battle through it.
I think his conditioning, I wouldn't be stunned if his conditioning's up to par. He's generally a pretty good, I don't think we've ever looked at him and felt like he was somebody who was...
No, but he hasn't practiced. We all said last week he's not going to play a full game.
Right, but I said he wasn't going to play a full game more just because of where you were at in terms of the ramp up and different things. I think conditioning-wise, he's fine. It's just a matter of, like,
the context and different things. Yeah, I'm not saying he's, like, fat and out of shape. He's not in, like, regular season opener game shape.
He will he will, I'm sure, be. We're not going to hear much about this. I don't even know if, like, I haven't even looked to see. I don't even know if he's on Green Bay's injury report.
Right.
He may not be.
Dak Prescott, when you read this, it sounded like he was one of the ones that signed off on it. But as always on this show, we need to hear it. Was Dak surprised that it happened?
Yeah, I was. I can't say I was completely surprised, but I definitely didn't think he was going to get traded. I'll say that. But just with the way that their negotiations went down, obviously, to some extent, I mean, hell, y'all were asking me questions. It seemed like it got personal on their ends. So, like, that's why I wasn't surprised. But, yeah.
The part that blew up through text and just reading it was, I know what adding a guy like Kenny Clark, adding a true leader, a real man that's going to only elevate this team who's been a Pro Bowl player and is excited about being here means. So people took, we're adding a true leader and his other tone when hearing him as, okay, maybe Dak was fine with it. Let's move forward. All sides are happy.
I mean, Jerry said it was unanimous. Brian Schottenheimer said it was unanimous. I can't imagine they wouldn't have at least asked Dak as part of that poll that they took.
Leadership Council.
Well, how much are we? I mean, I don't. When Brian, no offense, Brian Schottenheimer's show debuts tomorrow, 8:20 on this very program. When Brian Schottenheimer sits up there and says it's unanimous, I'm still halfway thinking Brian Schottenheimer is reading what is written down on his company index card. So I'm going to have to absolutely know how many people got a vote. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer's not going to sit up there and say it's not unanimous. He's got to follow what Jerry said. That's me.
But he volunteered unanimous too.
He was going to be asked by every single reporter.
Well, then I will tell you, it was unanimous there. So it was.
I don't know why you're taking attitude
when I was just saying.
I didn't take any attitude with you.
You did.
I'm talking about the Cowboys.
I know. And as I said, he did volunteer it. That you were getting worked up. He's going to be asked.
Because it doesn't mean that.
I'm telling you, it was.
I don't care that he volunteered. He was going to be asked about it by every reporter in there because Jerry said it was unanimous.
Regardless, he used the language that he did. He chose the language and he brought it in. And the reason is because they were. They were all, like, you don't put that up there either way if you know people are going to be asked about it anyway. Like, they're not going to go up there and repeat. Steven repeated it. Jerry repeated it. Schottenheimer repeated it. That's where they were at. Nobody, I don't think anybody was, like, begging for him to go necessarily. But I think everybody said, do what you got to do. And nobody gave resistance to put in a fight on it.
So from now on, when Jerry says something, I'll just say, you know what? When they all go up there and agree with them, that's the absolute truth. We can question Chris Young and we can question everyone else, but when Jerry says it,
no, you can question Jerry. That's why you have to ask him about it. But I think when you hear Schottenheimer talk about it throughout that time and you hear everybody else talk about it, it's clear they all were on board.
They start spending the Micah money. The bickering that took place on the group text over the Deron Bland deal, the Nico incident in Addison, and best and worst of the weekend all next here on 105.3 The Fan.